We're on lesson two in our 10-week study of this great, amazing book of the Old Testament, the fifth book from the very beginning of our Bible. I would like to begin with a scripture reading, and the scripture reading will be Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verses 19 through to 33. Chapter 1, verses 19 through 33. If you would like to get a Bible, there's more in the back. You're welcome to go and grab one if you'd like to follow along. Deuteronomy 1, beginning at verse 19. Moses is speaking to the people of Israel as they're waiting to cross the Jordan into their land of promise. He says this, "Then, as the Lord commanded us," Moses telling the story, "we set out from Horeb and went toward the hill country of the Amorites through all the vast and dreadful wilderness that you have seen, and so we reached Kadesh Barnea. Then I said to you, 'You have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which is the Lord, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God is giving you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.' Then all of you came to me and said, 'Let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to.' The idea seemed good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. They left and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and explored it. Taking with them some of the fruit of the land, they brought it down to us and reported, 'It is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us.'" Verse 26, "But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, 'The Lord hates us, and so he has brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites and destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large, with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there.' Then I said to you, 'Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, the God who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and a cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show the way you should go. And when the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, 'No one from this evil generation shall see the good land that I swore to give our ancestors, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, as we come to you, our beautiful, wonderful, powerful God, I want to thank you for these words in the book of Deuteronomy. I pray that you will teach us, that you will be our teacher today, that we would hear from you. Take away anything not from yourself. May everything be for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen. So we come to lesson two. What we've suggested at there's two key words that underlie and weave through our whole study of the book of Deuteronomy. It's the word listen and love. Listen being more than just sound waves in our ears, but listen in the sense of listening and obeying and love. These are the two key words that we'll see throughout the story. Our lesson today is really a look at the first three chapters. We're not going to go deep into every verse of these three chapters, but we want to look at these three chapters where what we find Moses doing is telling the story so far, reminding them of the story that has happened, the experience that they have had, and we're calling it grace, rebellion, and more grace. In these first three chapters, really what Moses is doing is recalling the story. How in the world did it get to this point in their history where now they're on the east side of the Jordan River looking across at the land of promise? What we find as we read these first three chapters is Moses is quite selective in what he chooses to recount. He doesn't tell the whole story. And what we're going to do this morning is be even more selective because we're not going to go into all of what Moses said. But here's the three observations I would like us to make this morning. First observation is this. Moses talks to the people about God's amazing grace and how he delivered them from Egypt and how he cared for them through the wilderness to the point of Kadesh Barnea. So we see God's amazing grace in that. We want to look specifically at the words there. And then secondly, we want to see the people's rebellion. So God brought them out, and yet when it was time to go to the land, the people rebelled. And then thirdly, what I want us to see as Moses is recounting the story is how he goes on to recount God's amazing grace even towards these people who turned away from him, even towards these people who rebelled. God's amazing grace is continued to be shown. Many people have the mistaken impression that the Old Testament is about judgment and punishment, and the New Testament is about grace. I'm here to tell you that the whole story of the Bible is a story of God's amazing grace. It starts right from the very beginning, and it goes all the way to the end. God desires to show his amazing grace toward the people, you and I, whom he has made in his image. The story of Deuteronomy has been called by one writer the Gospel of Deuteronomy because it's so full of grace. And this is partly what we want to notice as we go through. And especially here in these opening chapters, we have the privilege to listen in as Moses reminds the people just how gracious God has been toward them in spite of their rebellion. So first observation, let's look at how Moses describes God's amazing grace in delivering his people. What I would like us to notice especially is the kind of language that Moses uses to describe the grace that God showed to his people. The context of these words is this. Moses is speaking. He's an old man as he gives this sermon that is the whole book of Deuteronomy. How old is he? 120 years old. Just checking to see if you were listening last week. 120 years old, right? He's speaking to the people, reminding them of the story. The story he's telling now happened 40 years previously or so, 40 years previously. And the context is that they'd been delivered from Egypt, right? This amazing deliverance from Egypt, probably the most amazing deliverance of a people in the history of the world, right? They march out, hundreds of thousands of them, to freedom. And then they get in this wilderness where life is very difficult. And then they spend a year or so at Mount Sinai. God gives them religious laws, makes them a nation out of this rabble group of people. He makes them into a nation, and then they leave from Sinai and they head towards the promised land. They reach Kadesh Barnea, which is the southern border of the land of promise, and there they are ready to go up. And the spies had gone in, they'd come back with this mixed report. It's a very good land, but the people are stronger and taller than we are. The walls reach up to the sky. I wonder if they could actually see that, or if maybe that was an exaggeration. We even saw the giants there, right? So fear. This is what Moses says, verse 29. Then I said to you, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid of those giants. Why? The Lord your God, who's going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt. Look back, folks. Remember what God did for you in Egypt before your very eyes and also in the wilderness. And then notice the language that Moses chooses to describe God's grace. Look at the language. There you saw in Egypt in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son. What an amazing description. As a father carries his son who can no longer walk because he just doesn't have the strength. God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. This is grace. This is grace. This is God pouring his grace on his people. What is grace? Grace is something that we do not deserve. It's something we cannot earn. Let me say it again. Grace is something we do not deserve. It's something we cannot earn. God chose these people, Israel. He had chosen their forefather Abraham, and now he's choosing them as this extended family. He loved them, and he literally carried them out of slavery in Egypt. This exodus, this coming out of Egypt, had nothing to do with Israel's strength, or their numbers, or their intelligence, or their ability. Had nothing to do with any of that. It was only God who carried them as a father carries his son when they had no hope, right? This is grace. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. God carried them out of Egypt in the wilderness. So here they are, these hundreds of thousands of people. They cross over the Red Sea and their enemies are killed behind them, and now they're free. And now they're in the wilderness where there's no water and there's no food. How are you going to feed and give water to hundreds of thousands of people? What did God do? Water came from the rock. From heaven he sent the bread, the manna, and the quail. In Egypt, out of Egypt, in the wilderness, on the way to Sinai, God carried you as a father carries his son. This is grace. God is showing his grace to his people. I want to stop here and just ask the question, how have you seen God's grace in your story so far? Right? As you think back over your story so far, whether it's from 9 years old or 90 years old, doesn't matter. From your story so far to this point in your life, I want you to think right now, what is one event, two events, three events where you have felt God carrying you because you couldn't do it anymore, or carrying you because something happened that was just beyond your control? God showed you grace in those times. I want you to think of a specific incident. Let me begin by sharing a couple from my story very briefly. My story is quite long because I'm quite old. When I was 17 years old, my friend had this kind of a car. Anybody recognize what it is? A 1957 Chevy four-door sedan, pretty classic car. This was, mind you, 1976, so it's a long time ago. But I was 17 years old, and my friend who owned, not this car, but like it, he let me drive his 57 Chevy to high school. I was 17 years old. He let me drive to high school. I think he was very gracious and very unwise. Because I was a young boy with power under my right foot. It's a dangerous combination. One time I was driving home and did a really stupid thing. There's this hill, you know, if you come up a hill and then if you get enough speed, you kind of go over and it just feels kind of good, you know, woo, when you go down the other side. I came up over this hill and at the bottom of the hill was a car stopped waiting to turn left, wasn't very far away from me. And these cars are pretty heavy. They don't have advanced braking technologies. My friends, I don't know. I still look back on that moment as a moment when God carried me and that car to a stop, because I don't think I could have stopped it, right? So just that was one moment that I think of, and I think this was totally beyond my control, but God somehow protected me. Let me give you one more instance of grace in my life. This picture is from 23 years ago. I looked pretty good back then, didn't I? Yeah, I didn't have a lot of hair, but still, it's okay. It's okay. God blessed me, and this was his grace too. God blessed me with these three beautiful women in my life. I've told this story before, so I'm not going to go through the story again, really. But I'm telling this story because 10 years ago from this last Tuesday was the date that Barb was taken from me. She died of breast cancer in 2009. And so this has been a week of remembering the story, remembering the pictures. It was quite a meaningful, deeply meaningful week for me doing that. But September 24th, 2009 was a day when Barb died that began for me a journey of darkness and grieving, intense loneliness and confusion. From this 10-year perspective looking back, I can only look back and say it was a time when God was carrying me as a father carries a son, right? That, because I couldn't figure it out, but God was there. And I can see, looking back, by his grace, he carried me so amazingly. He carried me all the way back to Central Asia. This picture, by the way, was in Tashkent in Uzbekistan in the mid-90s. He carried me all the way back here. He brought Martha into my life and gave me a beautiful church to serve in. God is gracious. But in those moments, it was like a father carrying a child because I had no strength of my own. I want to ask you to consider those times in your life, in the story so far. What are those moments when you have really felt God caring for you? Here's the thing. I think that those things happen in our lives, but we can forget them. So here's what I want us to do. I'm going to give you 3 minutes, maybe 2.5. We'll see how time goes. But I want you to turn to each other and say one thing. One time in your life when you felt God was carrying you. One time when you felt God's grace in your life. Does that make sense? So each of you has about 90 seconds. Just turn to each other. If it's not comfortable to talk, you can write it down or you can tap it in your phone, whatever. But just take this time, talk to one another about how good and how gracious God is to us in your history. One event, okay? 3 minutes, go. Lord, we want to offer you our thanks today. We want to pay attention to the ways in which you have been gracious to us. You have poured out your grace in times that we didn't deserve, we didn't earn, but you poured out your goodness into our lives, protection, help, sustenance, whatever it was. Lord, we want to take this moment to just offer you praise, offer you our thanks, because you are a good God. And thank you for the way you've cared for us. Teach us, Lord, how to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the thing, despite all this good grace that God had poured out on his people, what we find is that the people actually rebel, they don't trust, they turn away. And here's what I want to pay attention to, and that is, again, the specific words that Moses used as he's telling this story for many years on. I want us to notice the specific words that he uses to describe their rebellion. It's my prayer that we'll find some words that might actually challenge our own hearts in terms of our own turning toward God or turning away. So the report comes back from the spies. It's a good land, but it's also a mixed report because there's giants there. We pick it up at verse 26. Look especially at the words that are highlighted in brown here. But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us up to Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts to melt in fear. So we jump down to verse 32, and this verse is just after Moses has described how God carried them like a father carries a son. And Moses says to them, in spite of this, you did not trust. You did not trust in the Lord your God who carried you, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by day to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go, more signs of God's grace. Yet you did not trust. Now jump down to verse 43. So after refusing to go into the land, God had said, okay, if you refuse, then you must go to the wilderness and you will wander there for many years. But the people then said, oh, no, don't send us to the wilderness. We'll go up. And so they decide they want to go up, but it's too late. This is what Moses says to them, verse 43. So I told you, don't go up, but you would not listen. You rebelled against the Lord's command. And in your arrogance, you marched up into the hill country. And we know from the story that they were sorely defeated in that attempt. Let's look at all these specific words that Moses pieces together to describe the rebellion of the people. It's quite a remarkable list. You know, it's quite easy for us to sit back and cast stones at Israel. How could they have rebelled after all that God did for them? It's easy for us to think ourselves better than them. I'm not that rebellious. But as I was processing these words this week, I realized, whoa, there's some words in here that perhaps reflect my own heart sometimes. Unwilling, rebelling, grumbling. Fear, sometimes circumstance or whatever comes our way, and we're gripped by fear. You did not trust. You wouldn't listen. You're full of arrogance. You know, in the study of Proverbs that we were in a few weeks ago, we came to Proverbs chapter 3, and we came across this word of wisdom, and what we're noticing is the similarities, because Moses really is giving these people wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3 said what? Trust in who? Trust in the Lord with what? With all of your personhood, right? With all of your heart. Don't lean on your own figuring it out. You can't figure it out. Trust in the Lord with all of your personhood. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, what's the next word? Submit, right? Submit to Him. And He will make your paths straight. It's an amazing story of God's grace poured out on Israel, and yet we see them turning away. It's also our story. God has poured out His amazing grace upon us. And yet I hope that we can be challenged by some of these words to think about ways in which we have turned against God even this week. But then thirdly, I want to notice God's amazing grace in carrying on caring for the people even as they rebel. It's really actually very remarkable. Chapter 2, verse 7 says this. Moses is speaking again. He says, "The Lord has blessed you in all the work of your hands." And now he's talking from 120 years old. He's talking, looking back over the 40 years through the wilderness. He says, "The Lord has blessed you in all the work of your hands, even though you turned away from Him. He has watched over your journey through this vast wilderness. Through these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked anything." This, my friends, is grace. It's grace. They didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it, but God gave it. We turn to chapter 29, verse 5 in Deuteronomy. Moses gives a little more clarification. It's really remarkable what he says here. The Lord says, "During the 40 years that I led you through the wilderness, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals on your feet." Is anybody here wearing clothes that they were wearing 40 years ago? Right? Supernatural provision. They didn't earn it. They couldn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. But God kept their clothes fresh through 40 years. "You ate no bread, drank no wine or other fermented drink." Bread and wine were the staple foods that they provided for themselves. But in the wilderness, they couldn't provide for themselves. They couldn't grow their own wheat and make their own bread. So what did God do? God provided water from the rock. God provided the manna and the quail from heaven, supernatural food that they had nothing to do with the production of. Right? All the way God showed him his grace, even as they were busy rebelling against him. Why? "I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God." Right? God's grace is amazing. It keeps being poured out even when his people are rebellious. Moses. What's Moses calling the people to do at 120 years old? He's looking back, looking over this crowd of people who are now the next generation of Israel about to go into the land. What's he calling them to do? He's calling to them to respond in a different way from their parents. He is calling them to covenant faithfulness. God had made a covenant with them. He was calling the people to be faithful to the covenant God has made with them. God had chosen and loved and called the people of Israel to be his people, through whom he would bless all of the nations of the world. And now he's saying, be faithful to this covenant. You know, God has also loved and chosen and called each one of us here to be his child, to be his children, to be his people in this world. You know, there are many similarities. There are many ways in which the story of Israel is our story. There's also some differences in the covenant there and the covenant now we have through Jesus. But it's really all a part of the same story. And God, the same God who called Israel to covenant faithfulness, is calling you and I to covenant faithfulness also. As I was processing this week and trying to imagine and think, where is it in the New Testament that we find this call to covenant faithfulness? Philippians 2 came to mind. I would like to leave you with these words from the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. They're remarkable, remarkable words. They're very strong words, and I want to hear them as strong words. We who received so much grace from God, how should we respond? Therefore, Philippians 2:12, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, those are pretty strong words, right? Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If Paul's words end there, I'd be worried, because I don't think I can do that. But listen, look how Paul goes on in this next part of his words here. Carefully listen. For it is God who works in you, right? It is God who works in you to will and to act according to, in order to fulfill His good purpose. We need to notice the language very carefully. We are called to covenant faithfulness. We are called to respond with our whole hearts to this God who has shown us so much grace. We are called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That means we need to take it seriously. This is not a game. This is life. And yet we must realize that the strength doesn't come from us. The power doesn't come from us any more than Israel got out of Egypt by their own power. It all comes from God. It's God who works in you. It is God's power, it's God's grace who works in you to will and to act according in order to fulfill His good purpose. So it's not our power, but it is somehow our responsiveness. Right? We're called to respond. We're called to open our hearts. More than anything, what God wants is a heart that is willing so that He can do His good work in us and through us. And what does this work look like? It's amazing how Paul continues in this chapter. He says, chapter 2, verse 14 of Philippians, do everything without what? Without grumbling or arguing. Have you seen these words already somewhere today? Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. What amazing words Paul is using here. This quote, this phrase is in quotes, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Do you know where this comes from? Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 32, I think, the Song of Moses. It's so striking that in the Song of Moses, the people of Israel are being described as this crooked and warped generation. So persistently, they had turned away from the God who had shown them so much grace, right? And Moses is calling the people, don't be like your forefathers, turn away, have soft hearts, turn toward God. And this is what Paul is challenging us to here. Don't be those who are led astray, who rebel against the good grace that God has shown to us. But let us be those who turn to receive God's grace in our hearts. And as we do that, as we allow Him to do His work in us, to make us more and more like Jesus, we will become, what does He call, blameless and pure. That's amazing. Then you will shine like stars among them, this warped and crooked generation. You will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. As we become more and more like Jesus, we become like the stars in the sky. It's my desire for each one of us this morning that we would be stars. Not stars in the entertainment sense of standing up front and having everybody clap for you, but stars in the sense of shining brightly this incredible message of grace. God has been gracious to the whole world, to all people. He's been especially gracious to us. As we allow Him to do His good work in us, to make us more and more like Jesus, we will become like those stars in a world. I think we'd probably agree that there's many ways in which we can describe our world today as a warped and crooked world. So much brokenness. But let us be the people who receive God's grace, who allow God's amazing power to work to change us more and to be more and more like Jesus, so that we can reflect that good grace into the world. God is so good. God is so gracious. May we respond to His grace by submitting, by surrendering our lives into His, so that He can do His good work in us and transform us to be increasing like Jesus, so that we may reflect His amazing grace to others. Lord Jesus, I praise You for these words from Your word. I thank You for Moses, who had such an amazing perspective. You gave him this perspective on the history of the people of Israel. You gave him this perspective. You allowed him to challenge the people. And we have the privilege of listening in and being challenged in our own hearts. So would you give us, first of all, hearts that are thankful as we look back, hearts that are attentive to the good ways in which You have cared for us. Would You give us hearts that are willing to submit to Your ways? Submit 100% to Your ways, so that we may be carriers and messengers and reflectors of this good grace in this difficult world. We put ourselves in Your hands and say, please, Lord Jesus, do Your good work in us. We thank You. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing about this amazing grace.